Hi, this is Philip Meyer, welcoming you to another episode of Talking About Platforms.
And we are Daniel Trabucchi
and Thomas Buganza, the co-hosts of this podcast, where we present and discuss relevant discoveries from the field of platform research.
In every episode, we have a guest sharing with us one of his or her latest insights on platforms, starting from a paper, a project, or a book to make it accessible to everyone.
And with that, let's just jump right into the conversation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Talking About Platform. This is Daniel Trabucchi, and I welcome you to a new episode. I'm with my regular co-host, Tommaso Buganza.
Hello, everybody.
And I welcome Paavo Ritala, the guest of today's episode.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here.
Paavo is a professor of strategy and innovation at LUT University. He is a co-editor of the R&D Management, one of the main journals in the innovation management domain. And well, obviously, he does research also on platforms and an ecosystem. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Paavo, from my side as well. And it's a big pleasure having you here. And well, you know, we start every episode of our podcast with the same question. And the question is pretty simple. And it is, so how did you end up, you know, researching platforms? What are platforms to you and how you got to them in your research history?
Okay. It's an interesting question for me because thinking back, I started to do research already in 2006 originally, and I started to look at how firms come together, how organizations come together and collaborate and innovate and how they coordinate their activities. And we were discussing at that time, we were discussing about networks and value networks and of course alliances and all that. And I was really working on the field of ICT and high technology and you know, some things that we would nowadays call digital and probably things that we would nowadays call technology platforms or digital platforms or so. But you know, that wasn't the discussion at the time. So we were talking about networks and such. And then at some point, this concept of ecosystem came, and this was early 2010s. So 2012, I wrote a first paper about ecosystems, business ecosystems. 2013, I wrote a paper about innovation ecosystems. And then little by little, the practical world started to get organized in a way that we started to see these business models that are based on platforms. And then we started to see companies organize their products and services so that they have these complements, now that which we now call platform-based offerings or so on. So things that were platform-like started to emerge in my research, and it really was a really emergent thing. And first, probably, you know, the concept of ecosystem emerged a little bit, and the idea of that, and then the, you know, the ideas about technological interfaces being intermediating things. These things started to pop up, and they came from different places. So I saw things happening in the economics. You know, there was talk about two-sided markets that sounded very intuitive when it came to my attention. Then of course, in the practical world, we started to have these app stores and, you know, things that we now call transaction platforms. I did a study on Amazon, and I was talking about business models that are based on a platform. And you know, then those started to naturally come from the empirical world that I was witnessing. And then, of course, if we fast forward to this moment, everything is sort of super clear that, okay, it was always there. We have the economic concept of a multi-sided market. We do have platform as a modular technological architecture that helps to connect the complements together into one offering or whatever. And then we also have this concept of ecosystem, and we view platform also as an organization. And all of these aspects actually emerged in my work. And initially, interestingly, none of them I called a platform initially, because that vocabulary wasn't there initially. But this was my, you know, small story about, you know, how the platform came consequential to me.
That's interesting. You know, the idea is that in the podcast, we're all talking about platforms, but we are taking the same concept from different perspectives, and sometimes even with some different definition. And, we left this idea of having the whole podcast around one paper, so we can easily go through many of your works. But one of your very latest papers on Academy of Management perspectives got our attention, and actually goes back to some of the topics that you mentioned. This idea of networks first, ecosystems, and then externalities. The title is Positive, Negative, and Amplified Network Externalities in Platform Markets. Would you like to bring us through it and tell us what are the main highlights you highlighted there?
Oh, well, it's going to be a very long answer, so maybe we'll do a little bit of back and forward here. I can tell, you know, if anybody's interested, I can also tell a very little backstory of the paper. So this paper has been long time coming, really long time. So first time I talked about these ideas, it was around 2019, early 2020s. Early 2020, just before COVID, we presented one version of this paper in a conference, together with Kimmo Karhu and Mikko Heiskal, two first authors of the paper. And Kimmo and Mikko had the initial idea of this paper well before I even joined. So this goes back definitely like 6 to 7 years or so. And the main idea was very interesting. It was about what we're seeing in platforms. We talk about network effects all the time. So network effect seems to be a very critical thing in creating value in current economy. So network effect, what does it mean? It means that more users a platform has, the more valuable it to other users. Or, you know, more generally, more users the network has, the more value the network gives to its users, to its current users and to the new users. Telephone network was the archetype back in the 80s, when the concept of network externality and later network effect were created. Okay, so from the 80s, we come to Kimmo and Mikko having the idea that there is something else beyond just the number of users in a network that actually creates value. It's much more complex a story. And you know, we had these early discussions also that, okay, there is something beyond the N is the number of users. But what is that? How do we conceptualize that? And then we started those discussions. There was 2020, just before COVID, there was a conference presentation. There were other conference presentations. There were maybe 60 to 70 different versions of this paper, all the visuals. So the whole paper is sort of a theory that we build from the scratch. And we really needed to go back to the classics of the network externality. What's different from externality to network effect as we know it now? Then why and how does it create positive externalities in platforms? How that happens? Why is it sometimes negative? And how are those amplified? And then we built this whole structure together to really give that overarching explanation. That whole article reads almost as a book, so it has these different aspects, and we built the theory little by little. I'm happy to tell about the different aspects of it, but this was the long backstory. So just to know that you know, creation of something like this is anything but simple. So it was certainly a struggle, and then in the end we got it published in Academy Management Perspectives, which is nice. It's certainly a perspective to the network effects. So I can give you a really, really quick overview of what does it do. So basically we say that network externalities and network effects, they have this quantity aspect. So basically more users in a platform is typically always more valuable. But then how is it valuable? It's not just the number. It can be also, and we name these accumulation, variety, and utility. So for accumulation, it's for instance, generating more, but it's not the same, but it's more of items on a platform that together create interlinkages with value. So for instance, in Wikipedia is an information platform. So Wikipedia has interlinkages between the articles. So you accumulate that base you accumulate those, you know, articles on the platform, and they together accumulate value. It's not just the number of the articles, but it's also what those articles do together. They create a whole universe of human knowledge, actually, in Wikipedia. Okay, then we have variety. So variety, the typical use case being the Google App Store or Apple App Store, iStore. You are not actually, as a user, you don't get value out of, you know, there are a million apps there. There are, you know, 2 million games. You know, that's not exactly that valuable. You are interested whether there's variety if you find the app that you want to use for your use case. That's the whole magic of innovation platforms anyway. So that, you know, the complements are with a lot of variety, and that makes them valuable. It's not the number only, or even mostly. It's the variety, and it's whether the variety brings value for variety in the user base. Okay, and then finally, we do have utility. So utility is again, it's not about the number, but for instance, if we have an Uber drive or if there's a DoorDash delivery or whatever on the platform, you're interested if you can have it here and now, the drive that you need or the you know, delivered pizza that you need. It's, of course, it's the number, but it's the utility that it creates. It's those are not different items. So when I mentioned about variety, it's about the difference. When you have an Uber drive, it's not actually that much about the difference. It's the immediate utility that you need from that. And then, of course, in the article, we'll explain this in a very academic and scientific way, and we theorize the value units and how they're heterogeneous, how there's different level of persistence of them, you know. And it's something that I'm definitely not doing here. It'll take 5 to 10 minutes. I you know, urge everybody to read the paper if they're interested. And then the you know, just as a quick note, all of these positive network or platform externalities that we identify, each of them have a negative counterpart. That is something that is very, very seldom explicitly theorized. What happens when you have more number of platform users? You tend to have rivalry. So they tend to, you know, the complements start to compete with each other more when there are more of those. So basically, they can overcrowd the markets. This is a known phenomenon, but we theorize that. Then with variety, then you get choice overload. Yeah. So then, you know, the more might be worse. You know, if there's huge amount of variety, it might be too much. With accumulation, you get fragmentation. Then with utility, you might get this degradation of value that, you know, some Uber drive is not that good, and it spoils the rest of the experience. So in each of these, the important thing is that when platforms start to create value in a certain way, it can become too much, and then it can become negative. We always observe that certain platform ecosystems, they start to plateau in the number of users. What happened to Facebook, for instance? It's not growing anymore. Might it be that it's overcrowded with ads, for instance? Yeah. It could be. So we have some explanations for all of this type of phenomena that we have in the platform world. So, you know, that's the paper in a short snippet.
It's super interesting, Pavel, because actually there are many elements that resonate a lot with you know, our researches and things that we see out there every single day. So, for example, there is this discussion between quantity and quality. So having 200 restaurants on an app might be completely useless. I prefer to have, you know, the 2, 3, 4, 10 restaurants that I love. So quality might be more important. So once upon a time it was called killer application. So having the right one, not having many of them. There's also something that resonates a lot in terms of the complexity that you are actually creating to the users. Because if you give me hundreds of restaurants, just the time to review all of them, to have a look to all of them and to decide which is the one, it's you know, it's called the paradox of choice. So too many things after a while is just too many. Not because the quality is not good, because they're just too many. So I think that we all have the experience on Netflix. So when you finish a series, you want to start another one. So it happens to me to spend, you know, 2 hours, you know, looking for the next one, and then I go to bed typically. So it's just too late. When I get to a decision, it's just too late. So I think that many of the things that you are describing are incredibly interesting. So you found a way to, to put you and your co-authors, of course, to put in a framework, these ideas of a multi-dimensional idea of quality of the network that is not just connected to numbers. You've got accumulation, variety, and utility. It's also interesting the fact that if you exaggerate with something, it becomes negative at a certain point. And I love that part as well. But there is also another part in the article, and I would like you to spend one word about, but it's about the amplified networks.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So about the amplification. So that was the third dimension sort of the theorizing, and just to dwell 1 second on your previous comment. By the way, one leading principle that we had that we want to understand exactly the quality of the network effect, not just the quantity. So the quality versus quantity is a very, very kind of interesting and important point here. But yeah, going to the amplification. So we find that there are different ways, you could sort of say that, platforms supercharge the value that they provide. So one of them is of course the classic network connectivity. So it's not just, it doesn't go up in a linear way. So when you have a network of five people on a WhatsApp, then when you have 60, the value just goes up linearly. But when you connect a new node to the network, it can connect to all of the other nodes. So there's this added connectivity. So it's sort of multiplication rather than addition. So, that's the basic maths that we know behind the networks, how they work. But then that's not the interesting thing. The other thing that we discovered is also the connections between the complements on a platform. And complements, you can think, for instance, the software applications on a mobile operating system or Google App Store. Or software on a PC, or you can come up with any platform and the provider side. So horizontal complementarity—that's what we call it. We actually liked it so much that we even wrote a separate paper about it, only about that horizontal complementarity. So in this paper that we're now discussing, it's just a one. It's actually two paragraphs, but we also wrote a separate paper about it because we got so excited. The horizontal complementarity is actually the value that the platform complements create when they are used together. So a very simple way to think about it is, for instance, in your cell phone, you have the calendar application, and then you have the email application, and then you have, for instance, the video conference application. So you have the Teams app or the Zoom app, and then you can use the video meeting application, and then it has this connection to your calendar. So already these two complements are making each other more valuable, and they are also making the platform more valuable. And now that you can start to think that how many of different ties there are horizontally between these different groups of complements on platforms, and has anybody really theorized how that increases the value? We call it the horizontal complementarities as opposed to vertical complementarities. Vertical is that you think that there's a platform and there's a lot of complements on it. That's sort of vertical value creation. Platform is more valuable when it has a lot of complements. But what about complementarities between the complements? That is the horizontal complementarity. It sounds kind of complicated, right? Because there are a lot of words here, but it's very intuitive. So it's these complements, when consumed together, they create more value than separately. It's super intuitive. It's very intuitive. It's the same as we have complementarities between resources or complementarities between teams in a company or whatever. But that theorizing that, we saw that there's a sort of empty space, and then we wrote a separate paper even about it. We have like five different ways how horizontal complementarities are created, with a lot of examples. So that was interesting. And other people have identified this, of course. There was a paper that identified that quite many, actually, applications on an Apple App Store have linkages to other applications, which makes the whole thing much more valuable to its users. But we pay too little attention to this, we thought. Okay. So then we got excited about it.
And I was asking about it because I loved the idea. And I was also thinking, you know, when I read it, if maybe somewhere across the world, somebody's trying to internalize these horizontal externalities. So I was thinking about, so I would like to know, to have your opinion about this. If you think about super apps, they are typical in Asia. So in, you can have WeChat, for example, in China, you can have Grab in many countries. So it seems that somehow they are trying to re-put everything together. So different different services might be, different complementers might be connected among them, and they go, all of them under the same umbrella. So would you say this is correct or not?
I would say definitely correct. So if I remember the paper we wrote about horizontal complementarities, this was one of the archetypes of how platform companies or platform-like companies, how they actually achieve these horizontal complementarities. The super app is a good example. So we used, in our theory, we called it portfolio integration. So you have a portfolio of integrated apps running on the same platform or the same super app, as you call it. So we used the example that, okay, for instance, Microsoft Office has Teams and OneDrive. And now we can think about Microsoft building such a super app that you have now Microsoft Copilot having access to all of the files in the Teams channels and the OneDrive. There are so many horizontal complementarities inside this Microsoft cloud. If really used properly and in a complementary way, you could imagine how many ways there would be to create value across these apps. So it's a provider. In this case, okay, Microsoft also provides the operating system, but Office, of course, can run in other systems as well. So they all are integrated in a portfolio. I would say the reason why they're integrated, and also the reason for the Asian super apps, as you mentioned, the reason would be that they are so valuable together that the provider has realized that they better provide it by themselves. It's easiest to control, probably. It's easiest to do the interfaces. It's easiest to do the data integration, cloud environment for all of those, if you have a lot of data. So it makes a lot of sense. And I think that's why we are seeing these super apps. At the same time, we are seeing a lot of these horizontal complementarities just across common standards and in the same app stores and so on. So it doesn't require a super app, but I think that helps.
Wow. I think you are taking something that is at the basis of the platform world, the network externalities, and you are really presenting it almost as something new. You are clearly building on what has been said, but you are clearly stating different typologies, different ways of leveraging on the externalities that are extremely interesting. And you are doing something, Tommaso and I often spend time talking about what happens when you make something extreme, kind of the dark side of things. And I think your three typologies on accumulation, variety, and utility definitely go there. Tommaso mentioned a paper that we titled Quantity or Quality, Quantity versus Quality, that we published a few years ago. And our message was definitely simpler. It was, when you're trying to set up a platform, you need quantity to reach the critical mass. Be aware that both on the demand side and on the supply side, there might be the case for quality rather than quantity. Said in a different way, having the right players on that on one of the two sides can actually lead to more externalities on the other side in comparison to just going for quantity. And this looked a bit difficult in the eyes of someone trying to create a platform, because you kind of have two goals on the two sides that might look very different. On the one end, you have to push on quantity. On the other end, you need to select. The leading case study we had there was a food delivery platform. What you said on the plateau was actually measured by the numbers. We actually order always from the same restaurants. And so having a sushi restaurant instead of another pizza restaurant is actually a great choice. Now you are putting on the table something quite wide. We talk about accumulation, we talk about variety, we talk about utility. I was wondering, what are the suggestions that you would give to platform creators in a way to keep the complexity together at this point?
Yeah, it's a great question, and we have been thinking about, okay, so what's really the managerial advice that you could give? And actually, in the paper, we go to these typical platform scenarios that you know you have you. How do you create value and who receives that value? So, and what typically happens? So, you know, of course you want to get those network effects coming and growing. So you need to get started in some specific way. So basically, you know, then the managerial advice is of course to resolve that chicken and egg problem at the first place. So of course you need to get those effects started. And typically in the beginning, it's not a problem. You don't typically have too many. One thing that complicates oftentimes this, you know, coordination of a platform or thinking about these numbers is that, for instance, in the provider side, think about, for instance, the Netflix content providers. They do not appreciate too much the fact that they are competing content providers, but the users do that. So you have to deal with these tensions and trade-offs, that there are actually conflicting expectations from different sides and different actors on the platform. So then you know, you'll have the, I think, the platform governance in the way that the incentives remain aligned. And I think that these challenges sometimes get bigger as the platform grows. So oftentimes the typical arc of platforms, what we see is that, you know, they get growing. Actually, in a very pragmatic way, the owner oftentimes needs to subsidize one or the both of the sides of the platform to get it started. Think about PayPal, and they gave out free money for people to enter the platform. So you need to do some upfront investments to get it growing. And then when it grows a lot, sometimes you get those problems to be able to monetize it and have it working well. You know, sometimes there are ads on the platform. If it's at revenue, then that starts to irritate and create that negative value. Then you know, something that's manageable, if you have a lot of activity on the platform, if these are individuals, then there are variations in quality. You need to invest more in curation. So you will have to manage all these very pragmatic and very, very organizational issues. So the advice is a very academic one also. It really depends on what type of network effects you are running on the platform. If you are running a variety platform, we have a set of advice. Or if you're running a utility platform, we have another set of advice. If you have a utility platform, for instance, Uber type of platform, typically you try to get this local network working as well, that, okay, anytime you have whatever the platform provides, it's there for use in a you know, sufficiently quickly. And then you prioritize speed and safety and less of the variety. And then if you're running something with variety, you have to manage that, okay, as you said before today, actually. So you have to manage that you have enough of variety, but it's also variety that matters. So it's not like you have the game number 12 in the same exact game category. You know, the 12th application for Talk to My PDF with ChatGPT. So you don't necessarily need those 13, 14 applications for the same use case. They might be there, but as a platform owner, you might try to then encourage this variety, which is adding to the actual options for people, but not perhaps adding another bad alternative for already a relatively bad bunch of complements. So, you know, this is a true academic advice. It depends. And then we take it from there. Not one silver bullet. As we said, you know, it's not only about the number, you know, it's about the quality. And then quality differs quite a bit.
So it's you're right. It's a great academic kind of advice. So that's the reason why I would like to move you away now from the academy to a completely different field, a completely different question. You are a passionate person studying platforms. And so even reading at your papers, we can see that in many cases, you do what everybody does. So we talk about Uber, Airbnb, PayPal, LinkedIn, Wikipedia. So one of the things that we are told in many cases is, yeah, but you always guys speak about the same cases. It's interesting because at least in the article we are talking about, you also introduce something else like Tinder, for example. So yeah, there is this attempt to look at different things. So my question is absolutely not academic in this case, and it is so what would be your Saturday dinner story? So imagine that, because this is what we normally do. So when people ask me, what do you do? And I study platforms. And I say, what do you mean by platform? If I start talking about Uber, I lose them in 2 seconds. So I'm curious, do you have your Saturday dinner story, that case that you think it's cool and you bring it out just to attract the attention of people about something they might have not considered in terms of platforms?
Yeah, well, absolutely. There are those kind of things, and also, perhaps about using those same examples. I do a lot of MBA and EMBA teaching, and early on, if I talked about the platforms or ecosystems or whatnot, the feedback, if I got some negative feedback, mostly positive feedback, right? But the negative feedback typically was that is it really necessary to always talk about these giga platforms from the US? Everybody does that. We already know that. So in an academic paper, which is a theory paper, of course, it's a clever thing to do to use something that has a lot of metaphorical power and people intuitively attach to something that they already know. So they don't need to get the strange theory and then they get a strange example. It's a bit too much to digest. So then you go with simple examples and illustrate the theory. But to talk about platforms, what platforms could do, I'm sort of interested actually that can platforms do something good in the world, truly good in the world? This would be a dinner story for sure, because how we see platforms now and how we see platform companies is that they are really a driver of economic growth. And, how much economic growth we need in the world, as opposed to, other types of welfare or well-being or global, sustainability and just ability to extend the life of the planet and the people on the planet in a good way. So is that what platforms are actually doing? So in my more deep stories, I tend to problematize that. And then there are examples of platforms that try to tackle, we can say that they try to tackle grand challenges or they try to tackle a resource circulation problem. So for instance, we had that paper in 2022 in general management on ecosystem legitimacy. So we used a platform example from a Finnish platform called Rescue Club. And we chose on purpose a platform that no one knows about outside Finland that much. And it's a platform that is supposed to help match excess lunch on food that would go to waste to those who want a reduced price lunch. So that's sort of a circular economy or sharing economy type of example. But then I think that's interesting. But then there are these platforms that try to really scale up, for instance, solutions to chronic illness, information and access to healthcare. There are platforms that try to, find a solution to match any excess resource to any resource need in the industry and such. So I think that's super interesting. So could we use the power of platforms, the power of scaling, power of super amplification, all of those things that we're so excited, these create economic value, we can do more, but can we do more in a way that is also good in the very grand scheme of things? I think that is the interesting question. It's the same question we can ask to AI or other powerful technologies now, of course. But that is always the question that gets me somehow even more excited. It's a little difficult question academically, though.
I would say you got us for dinner. We can have a dinner talking about it.
Yeah.
That's really good. Like what I really like what you were saying, and it made me think about probably your work that we cite the most, even though it's very recent. You know, Tommaso and I work on this idea of platform thinking, where platform is basically a tool to foster innovation in our mind, a way to orchestrate value that can be a business model or of a firm, or even something within a firm to things differently. So I'd like to quote your Grand Challenges and Platform Ecosystem paper on Journal of Product Innovation Management that I think it's very interesting in this direction. But I think we need to go on over dinner because time in the podcast is running out. So the usual question to close our podcast is basically what's next? What are you working on? What do you think is the next big thing in the platform world that we should be looking at?
Oh, there are so many things, but I can tell you what I'm working on. So one thing that wasn't mentioned that I'm working on constantly is actually to, as you mentioned, platform thinking. So platform thinking is entering the B2B world quite a bit. And B2B firms, classically they have been thinking in terms of product platforms and, you know, how they use their product, service, bundle or a machine or whatever. It's works like a platform, and then they are opening the interfaces and then they are platformizing their offerings. And I've already written something about it, but most of my research as it comes to this B2B or industrial platform world, this is up and coming in the coming years. And so it is for many others, because this is another emergence phenomenon that we've seen in the industry. And it was not there to study previously, but now it's coming from all directions, I feel. So that's one of the topics. Another topic is a little bit related to that Grand Challenges platform ecosystem. So I'm constantly doing work on circular economy platforms. So I work on circular economy business models and so on. And then again, the question comment, can we really scale somehow this attempt to improve circularity or improve resource efficiency? So can we use the platform logic somehow to scale that up? So I'm working with those. And then finally, I think for the third emerging topic, I think there are very interesting things related to platforms and data, and how the value of data scales in the platform world, and how data is used as governance mechanism, and AI comes in over there. So we are seeing the convergence of discussions on network effects and data. We are seeing that. We are seeing convergence of platform governance and data. And so these two streams are converging, and I'm working on that as well.
So there is a secret economy, there are grand challenges, there are, you know, data, AI, convergence of different technologies. I would say that there are a lot of things on your table for the next months or more probably years. So how would you suggest our listeners to follow you? So if they are interested in, you know, following what you do and when you will, you know, actually deliver some of these wonderful things you're working on, what would be the best way to follow you?
I think the very best way is to connect with me in LinkedIn. So I'm very active in LinkedIn. And as we talked about platform externalities and negative effects on platforms, there are many social media platforms, and some of them are not working as well as they used to be. I'm also an ex, by the way, and in Twitter. But we've seen some of the good dynamics of constructive academic conversation moving to LinkedIn, and that's where you find me. You also find me in X, but I'm less active than you before. And that's where you see actually the platform dynamics working against X a little bit now, that many academics have lowered their interaction there. I'm very happy to talk to people in X and Twitter, but as I see that the action is reducing, so it somehow affects my user experience as well. And in LinkedIn, I'm seeing a lot of positive dynamics in terms of, you know, how the platform works. So you can find me in the LinkedIn that creates a lot of positive platform externalities.
Okay, so great, Pablo. So our time is over, and I don't think this was a very interesting chat. I mean, this thing that you did of going back to the roots of platforms and, you know, try to investigate and build on the concept of network externalities and the many different nuances that you've been identifying and describing is incredibly interesting. And I would like to thank you, and I also would like to thank Daniel for this chat.
Thank you very much. It was amazing having you with us and listening to you be in touch in one of the next episodes. Thank you, Pablo. See you on LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Or for dinner. Or for dinner.
Or for dinner.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talking About Platforms.
You can rate the podcast on every major podcast app. This helps us a lot in growing.
Visit talkingaboutplatforms.com to get the links of the short notes, reach out to us, and see the previous episodes.
Hear you in another episode to talk about platforms.